Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace. Chase in for Caroline today here in 102.5, 106.3 The Game alongside Derek Mason and Willie Donick, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And every Monday at this time, they talk to Teron Davenport from ESPN. TD, what's up?
What's going on?
Good to chat with you and talk a little Titans football. I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked D. Mace, and you and I were texting about this a little bit yesterday, but I am very, very excited about Calvin Ridley joining this team because that's a guy that has something to prove, has a chip on his shoulder. And I think the guy that's going to be playing across from him feels the same way in DeAndre Hopkins. Do you feel like those two are going to push each other and therefore we're going to see a pretty explosive offense with just those two receivers, not to mention everything else that they're going to have at their disposal?
Yeah, they'll definitely push each other. I thought it was pretty cool that Ridley said that he worked with or trained with Hopkins in the past, and he mentioned having a great receiver opposite him to push him. So he said himself that that's going to happen. And, you know, Hopkins, he's one of those self-inspired guys where no matter what, he's going to look to do the best because he's just self-motivated. And that's one of the things I really like about him. So it's going to be interesting seeing all that together.
Now, TD, do you see them making any moves with before draft in regards to free agency? I know after the draft there could be some moves made late into June because there will be players released after the draft. But before then, do you see the Titans making any more moves via free agency? And is there any other guy out there there's even, you know, that you would even want to make a move on?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's possibilities. Look at Chase Young, that visit is still set to happen whenever that does. And you bring a guy like that in on a one-year prove-it type of deal, and you have the money next year to sign him long-term if he shows that he's worthy of that. He's only 24, so that's a move I would definitely look at. And he's a guy that would help make up for the loss of DeNico Autry. You can move him inside, outside, use him in a very similar way, to be honest with you. So you do have that. I don't know that they make any other moves. There's Isaiah Simmons, possibly the linebacker. I believe he was last on the Giants. I don't know if they make any moves on the inside backer thing. I was really surprised that Jerome Baker left. Of course, you got Andrews Pete, who is here today, the offensive lineman from the Saints. So I think the Chase Young one would probably be the most likable, most likely one, but other than that, I'm not sure.
Now, they haven't really addressed the secondary. I know they brought, they made some signings, but, you know, guys that we think can be long-term fixes at that position, they didn't sign. Obviously, the kid out of Cincinnati, they believe, coming here, if they can get 3 years out of him, considering his age, I think it would be a plus, but they need someone opposite of him. Chase did bring up possibly Christian Fulton, bringing him back. I wouldn't be opposed to that because I think the one thing that really hampered him, and everybody knows it, is the injuries. But if you put him in this type of defense, assuming that they play sort of the same way Baltimore played a year ago, an aggressive style defense, that may fit him a little bit better than what they were playing last year.
Yeah, it would definitely fit him better than what they were playing. He's at his best in man coverage. He has just in conversations, he has said that, but he's willing to do whatever, but, he admits that he's a man corner. That's what he does. So you do have that. I don't know that he wants to come back, to be honest with you. I think he's at a point where change of scenery is the move for him. And, I mean, I get it. There was a lot that, went on here. And obviously a lot of the issues that he had are with somebody who's not here any longer. But still, I think, change of scenery is what he wants.
Teron, I want to ask you about another thing we were kicking around, and that is just the shaping of a team through free agency here in the situation that the Titans are in. I've seen some really interesting – some people have reached out to me and sort of challenged my thinking. I still think that I'm looking more at how do I get my team 2 years, 3 years from now in a position where I can open up a window where I can really compete. And I'm skeptical that you can do that, spending a ton of money on free agency. But this is a point I want to ask you. I do think they deserve a lot of credit for and you use this term a lot, paying the credit card bill last year, right? And not having it in a deal where you're losing your quarterback that you've had for years, you're losing Derrick Henry, who you've leaned on for years, Kevin Byard. There's not a lot of dead money out there in the coming years for that. So that's a big thumbs up, and that's one of the reasons they have this kind of budget.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have a bunch of contracts that just weren't good ones, and they're kind of taking the bull by the horns this year and taking a lot of that on, and that's going to allow them to have a lot of money next year. But, you know, you want to be able to sign your younger players, right? You want to bring in draft younger players that make it to a second contract, and that's something that this team hasn't really been able to do consistently, and that's why you have all that dead money.
So do you think that they – I guess that was my next question, because I haven't looked at some of these contracts that they're shelling out with a Ridley and stuff. Is this going to someday possibly hamper them in signing presumably good players are going to have over the next 2 or 3 years, signing them to the next contract? Because that's where you start getting in cap trouble, right? You draft a lot of players. If they're good – you've got to sign to that next contract, and you've got to be able to budget for raises.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be fine. They're in good shape there because they've managed to get some of those bad contracts off the books to the point now where, I mean, look, they re-signed Harold Landry. That's a pretty solid deal that they were able to do. They re-signed Jeffrey Simmons, and that market has readjusted itself. So, you look at the contracts, there aren't really any outrageous contracts on the board anymore. And so I think that will allow them to be able to sign some of these players and consistently build the roster through free agency. But the draft is the way you go. That's how you build the roster, and they have to get better at doing that. And I think last year was a good start.
Give us your insights on the Mason Rudolph contract. Any quarterback always has everybody weighing in on their opinions. We've certainly seen mixed ones coming our way. I think it's a pretty solid signing, but give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's nowhere near the tragedy that, you know, some are making it out to be. It's, look, you sign him to be your backup quarterback. You're not signing him to be in contention for the starting spot. You're signing him to be a backup. And for that role, Mason Rudolph is a pretty solid option. And I think context, like everything, it really applies here. You have to understand what his purpose is with this Titans team. And the thing that's interesting that I'm curious about is, okay, he's already been in this situation for both sides of it, to where he was that understudy for Ben Roethlisberger, and then he was that veteran that a younger rookie quarterback was supposed to be able to look at. So I think having both sides of the fence in his catalog, I think it'd be good. And it, to me, is a solid signing, and especially when you're considering at how much money it is.
We're talking to Teron Davenport from ESPN. And as I kind of go through, you know, my thoughts on the draft and where they're at, obviously still could bring in a couple of other guys, but now defensive line is a worry for me. To give Jeffrey Simmons some help. Are there some guys that stand out to you in the draft that the Titans might be interested in?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tavondre Sweat comes to mind immediately, and he's, you know, you're talking about a guy like tons of beef. Remember the old Wendy's commercial, "Where's the beef?" Well, it's right there. You know, he's like 365, 370 pounds, and he moves well for that size. So you got him. I think you look at some of the other guys like Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State. He's another one that no one is really talking about, but he's one of those smaller, sudden D tackles. And I watched him give plenty of offensive linemen the business there at the Senior Bowl. And then you go ahead and you watch the tape against Notre Dame. You know, he and 44, I can't pronounce his name. Those guys together, they gave Notre Dame's line fits, you know, including Joe Alt at times on their switches and stuff. So I think he's another guy. Byron Murphy, who was right there in the lineup at Texas with Tavondre Sweat as well. So those are three off the bat that could draw interest.
Do you see any major moves? Because if you look at the Titans and where they sit at the seventh pick now, Chase and I discussed this. If a team, say Minnesota, you know, thinks, hey, they're sold on J.J. McCarthy and they feel they got to move up to get him. If you're the Titans, one, do you make the trade? And then two, if indeed you make the trade, if you can't get, say, one of those tackles, because that's the problem, that's the issue you would run into. If you do move down to 11th, someone else can then move above you to get the tackle you want in this year's draft. If indeed that does go that way, can you see them drafting not just a receiver, but then again, one of those defensive players, whether it's a corner or one of those inside backers?
Yeah, if they trade back, look, it would all depend on, okay, is Joe Alt on the board? Because if Joe Alt is off the board, then you look into Fashanu, you look at Fuaga, you look at Faotano, you look at Latham. Oh, some have Latham. I mean, you look at some of these mocks. You know, Latham is ranked ahead of Joe Alt. Now, I wouldn't go that far, but you look at it, that's the case. So if you trade back and Alt is not there, I think you could comfortably go between 10 and 16 or so and still get a good shot at one of the tackles that could help you out. So you do have that. Look, you say the defensive guys, but, I mean, don't rule out Brock Bowers. You look at him and what he does. He's a playmaker. He's an impact player. So he's another one in a trade-back type scenario could be there. So there's a lot of ways that they could go. It's just really going to depend on how this board works. And I mean, I've even seen people have, you know, Malik Nabers ranked above Marvin Harrison Jr. So it's like, okay, is that really a set thing with the Cardinals when they pick? Or do the Cardinals trade out of that and another team comes up to get a quarterback? There's so many directions that the draft could go. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, I understand. I think that 3 through 5, if it doesn't go the way, which I do sort of predict that it will not go the way that many think it will. But if it doesn't, and it throws the draft off, and say one of those wide receivers are, you know, continue to fall down the board, then you're the Titans. What do you do? Do you take the tackle? Say if Alt's not there and Fashanu is, do you take the tackle? Or do you take the playmaker, in one of those receivers, whether it's Nabers or Odunze or even Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because there are some people that got, you know, Nabers higher ranked, higher on their draft board than Marvin Harrison is.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing I'm saying, how it's so unpredictable. And it's really comes down to how they weigh it out, right? Mm-hmm. How do they feel their left tackle situation could be addressed? And if Alt's on the board and Harrison Jr. is on the board, I mean, that's a really, really tough decision. Whereas you're weighing, okay, I know if I get this guy, for the most part, we're going to get solid to outstanding play for the next 10 years. But then do you want to be that guy that took Joe Alt over Marvin Harrison Jr., who becomes a perennial All-Pro and leading the league and receiving? Like, that doubt, that's enough to make you like, oh, I might have to go for the bigger risk that has a bigger return.
Now, how would you grade this portion of free agency for the Tennessee Titans, and how do you stack them up with everyone else in the AFC South? And I understand, you know, Houston has been making a lot of moves, and they feel they can because they got their franchise quarterback on a rookie deal. So they can try to build this team a little bit different from teams that you know, are a little bit closer to paying their franchise quarterback or already have paid their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, Houston is a bit of an anomaly in that, what you said, they recognize that they got their franchise guy, and they're building around him. You know, it's like the old Seahawks teams with Russell Wilson and even the 49ers with Kaepernick. So you have them. I think the grade is incomplete. I feel like they waited a bit on some of the options on the defensive line. Maybe they feel, you know, they have guys maybe in Quentin Bohannon, you know, that could come in and be a solid player over the stretch as opposed to just that short bit of time. Kyle Pecco is another guy. He's going to be a free. He's a free agent, but when he was healthy, he played well. So I don't know. I think they waited there. I thought DJ Reader was the move to make, and I don't know what happened with it, but it didn't happen. So you have that. I really have to say incomplete. You know, you look at Jerome Baker. That's another one. Okay, what happened there? He was the ultimate compliment to Kenneth Murray. What are you going to do in that situation? And then the secondary, I thought Fuller was a guy that they could get, and he ended up signing. I forget where he went, but it was a cheap deal. He did it on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then even the trade for Morgan Moses, right? You talk about acquiring a tackle. Mm-hmm. I mean, Morgan Moses is a guy that continues to just, you know, not be on the Titans radar, but yet he gives you outstanding play at right tackle, you know, so that's another one. So I really have to say incomplete. If I did have to get give a letter grade, I would say, you know, like B minus in that area, because there's still holes. The problem is what they have to do, it can't really be done in one off season, right? Like, yeah, you can't flip a roster like that into a Super Bowl contender in one off season. I don't care how much money you spend and how many picks you make.
Teron Davenport, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, why don't you tell us a little bit more about ESPN Bet?
Yeah, ESPN Bet is actually now live in Tennessee, so go check that out. It's the official sports book of ESPN, the only place you can find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. All you got to do, you sign up today, and as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets, and that's for making any sports book bet. You get all your favorite markets and bets, like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and every single prop you could handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, you call or text the TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Do be aware that terms and conditions apply. Check the app for details.
TD, you are my favorite ESPN personality, so we appreciate it as always. And we'll see you Friday when you're going to hang out with me.
That's right. Old Chase and TD show up there. Folks,
talking Mets Braves.
There might be some Mets Braves mixed in there, no doubt, with baseball.
I'm all right with that.
Yes, sir. All right. We'll see you Friday. Thanks, TD.
All right. See you guys.
Yep. Teron Davenport, ESPN, Titans NFL Nation reporter. Yes, TD and I are going to sit in for Jared on Friday. So looking forward to doing that and working on some things for that show on Friday. Yes, my Braves bringing back Adam Duvall for the 16th time. So looking forward to that, having him back in the fold. But, Willie, it's almost time.
It is almost time. I'm not really excited about the Mets right now. I'm keeping my expectations
low. You're not ready to meet the
Mets? Oh, I'm always ready to meet the Mets, but I'm keeping my expectations low. We've got some problems. We overpaid the credit cards.
When does that never not
We're
happen?
Helping fund all of the great franchises out there in the smaller markets.
How's Max Scherzer working out?
Well, we have Acuna's brother because of him. And so that was probably the right move, honestly, because Scherzer and Verlander at some point are going to get too old to get people out and last for the whole season. So I didn't have a problem with those moves, really. But they're in the meantime, they're just – they spent too much money on guys that either are hurt or aren't playing for them anymore.
Yep.
So they have hit. They have got. That is an interesting question.
They got to pay the credit card.
It's the luxury tax. They are paying huge luxury tax money, which goes back into the pool for everybody else, mostly the smaller market teams. So it shows you that you can't just spend your way to a championship. You got to build through the draft and develop players.
You cannot
trust the future, Willie. Ronnie Mauricio. Just trust the future.
Well, He was ready, and then he tore his ACL. He's out. Mm. So that's typical Mets. And Kodai Senga, out. Sore shoulder.
Well,
hopefully not for too long. But
I would say that we got issues.
Yeah, I got a bunch of issues, Willie.
Yeah. Now, Dimas, your Tigers. It's a winnable division.
Are they his Tigers?
It's a winnable division.
I take them.
Now, what you need to be doing, have you adopted the Orioles still? Because they're the real deal.
Yeah, any team.
Now, that's
that
how
area.
You build a team through the draft. Now, they went through some ridiculous bad times, but they are loaded now. They've got the young talent. Okay. That's an exciting team. And the Tigers should be there.
they're de facto.
They're not
team.
Quite there. Yeah.
Baltimore is the Orioles.
Okay.
I take them.
Okay. You've got two.
Everybody
teams
said. Everybody heard that, right? The Orioles. So, you know, I don't want people to say, oh, you're just now jumping on the bandwagon. Nah. Ever since Adam Jones gave me the bat.
Okay.
Then I've been an Oriole fan, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, there we go.
There you go.
Absolutely.
He's an Oriole fan.
Can't wait for some baseball. Speaking of that, Tim Corbin's doors heard on our airwaves.
Yep.
Smoked Auburn 3 straight. Auburn's ranked top 20.
That was a good way to start the SEC
good
play.
Good SEC start. So they're starting to get it together. They had some early stumbles.
Is that 13 straight that they've won now?
Is that right, Nick?
That is correct. Yeah. 13.
They're on a roll.
Good way to start the season. Yeah. So and glad to have Doors Baseball on. Obviously, the men's basketball team looking for a coach, and the women's team going dancing as they'll play Wednesday night in the first four. I still call it the play-in game against Columbia. So things are good right now. The Lady Raiders are in the tournament as well. They'll play Louisville on Friday. So, you know, our local teams, well represented.
Exactly.
I'd like to see a few more in the coming years.
We'd like to see a few more.
Yeah. But congrats to those teams for sure, because it gets harder and harder every year to make it. There's the number of Division I teams is not shrinking. It's growing.
Yeah, no. Speaking of Vanderbilt and their coaching search, we'll talk to our buddy Mitch Light from The Athletic coming up next and kind of get his thoughts on that job and who might be available for that job, plus the brackets being out as well. It's Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, or maybe today it's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, like old times, as Caroline's on vacation. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.